right? This is real life, right? This is, to me, studying is holiday compared to work, right? So now, you know, and holiday is really, really paradise. But now in working, when you start working, you realize that life is not easy. Life is tough. Can you imagine doing that for 35 years? 40 years? I've already done this for 37 years. Everyday work. Right? Can you imagine doing this for 30 years? You see, that is real life. Okay, then on top of that, next time, you know, you start your own family. Then you have children. You have incumbent responsibilities to look after your aging parents and so on and so forth. That's real life. And our faith must be seen in the context of real life rather than just holiday mode. Life is not holiday mode. Holiday mode is, to me, is unreal. It's just something that we all go for, you know, go overseas trip, enjoy yourself. But that's not real life. That's okay, taking a break. And that's fine. You know, all of us have a right to take a bit of a break, to enjoy oneself. But then you've got to come back to real life. And this is real life. Right? Like, okay, you know, you look at Mr. Tan, Lee Hong's father, and he's dying. And he may pass on very, very soon. In fact, you know, either today or tomorrow or Monday. And that's real life. See, these are the harsh realities of life. And it's where faith has to come in that will help us to cope, to help us see things better. Right? And that's what I'm going to try to do in the context of, you know, YEG, that our faith is something that has to be applied with reference to real life and how we go about it each day and every day. Right? And how God can be very real and special. And from then onwards, you know, we grow. See, it's not just sustaining, it's growing. Okay, maybe some of you are, okay, still maybe looking for a job. Okay, fine. Then you got to really learn how to trust God as you look for a job. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while. It's not going to just come like that. You know, when I was, during the time when my batch of people, when they were going, when they passed, when they graduated and they were looking for a job, there was one girl who waited for a year to look for a job. And it was tough for her. I mean, she prayed every day, but somehow she just couldn't find something that, you know, she wanted. In the end, it took a year before she found. So in the end, she became a PE teacher. And she went to IE and then studied and finally became a PE teacher. Right? And then for some of us, you know, you just start work and wow, it's like, what is this? Right? I didn't sign up for this. That's the first thing you all think about. I didn't sign up for this. This is not what I thought it would be. Well, welcome to the world. That's what the world is like. The world is tough. The world is challenging. The world is uncompromising. The world is unforgiving. The world is, you know, will not give you a leg up. You do something wrong, you get corrected because of it. And so on. You get penalized because of it. And that's the world. It's a very harsh world. And yet the challenge for us is to learn how to live, survive and thrive. That's our challenge. Okay, then on top of that is also to serve God. Right? You not only trying to survive in a world, to thrive, you also want to serve God. And then that's another level altogether. So at different levels of faith, you have to apply your faith. You have to trust God and you have to sustain your own walk with God by feeding your own soul. Right? If you don't, then you're going to find that life is going to be very, very tough. Your soul will just dry up. Okay, I mean, let's just be very... I just came back from a trip and I was in Europe for a while. Every day I'll get up at 2, 3 o'clock. I can't sleep. So I changed my whole routine. Every day I'll sleep at 9:30, 9 o'clock. Okay, so I will forego the night things, so that I can get out at 3. And from 3 to 3 to 6, 7 o'clock, 4 hours, I'll spend time with God. Reading, doing my devotion, praying. Sure, I mean, I look forward to the day, there are things to see. But before I start the day, I don't forgo my routine with God. I spend that 3, 4 hours reading, praying, memorizing, preparing, thinking through things. You know, you can get so caught up with everything and then you forget about God. No, it doesn't matter whether you're on holiday, whether you're serving God. So this morning, same thing I did. And the good thing is, when you get up very early in the morning, when you transit back, you don't feel as much the jet lag. I don't feel jet lag. In fact, I slept last night and then I'm back to normal now. Which I really, really thank God. If not, I'll be half... trying to put toothpick on my eyes trying to teach you guys. But I don't have to. Why? Because my focus is not myself. It's not focused on what I want to do. My focus is still God. Whether I'm on a trip, whether I am at home, whether in whatever I do. See, that is what sustains me. That is what gets me going. And it sets me for the day, my walk with God. And one of the crucial things for y'all at this stage, as y'all go through life, is that you need to sustain that walk with God. You need to walk with Him. I cannot emphasize this more. And actually, that is what Psalm 119 is about. It's about walking in the ways of the Lord. It's about walking with God. It's keeping the Word. Right? The word keep, if you have been reviewing Psalm 119 and reading Psalm 119, the word keep keeps coming up again and again and again. I will keep your Word. Right? And that's the challenge, whether it's studying, whether it is, you know, waiting upon the Lord for something. And my challenge to you is, you know, you have to exercise faith. And it takes faith. It takes sacrifice sometimes. It takes, you know, a bold move sometimes. Sometimes it takes a step of faith. In order to reach a certain goal, you need to take baby steps sometimes. But in the right direction. And then as you take these steps, you slowly move towards the goal of maturing and growing in your faith. Right? And life has to be tough. You see, for many of us, we don't learn until life is tough. If life is good, we will never learn. Right? We learn things the hard way. Am I right, Marcus? Right? That's the only way we learn. For many of us, if we can learn, you know, with a very genuine sense of response to the Word of God, then life will be easier for us because we will respond straight away. But most of us, we don't. You see, most of us are stubborn, rebellious, sinful, right? The heart is not so, you know, easily moved and guided by the Word of God. And sometimes we have to learn things the hard way. Right? And so for the psalmist, he also had to learn things the hard way. Okay, he went through tough times. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 119. And one of the things that he had to go through was that he had to learn how okay, so I've gone through the review with you, and then it's on your notes as well. So I won't go through that. In Psalm 119, one of the things that he struggled with was covetousness, right? And that's one of the things that we also struggle with. Because we look at the world, we get distracted by the things of the world, and, you know, we also want the things of the world. You know, whether it's fame, whether it's glory, whether it is the physical things of life. And for the Samis, he learned that, you know, I don't want to focus on these things because these things are worthless things. In Salzburg, there is a fortress called the Hohen Salzburg Fortress. Okay, it was built by a prince archbishop, Leonhard. And these guys are very powerful Roman Catholic archbishops. Okay, it becomes very political, and he rules over Salzburg as a very, very powerful prince almost. That's why they're called Prince Archbishop. And he built a fortress, not for the people, but for himself. And within his chambers, within his dining halls, he has wood paneling everywhere. The floor, the wall, the roof, the ceiling. And he had all these golden decorations, you know, all over. Opulent. He had pillars that were specially twisted from marble, and during that time, he had an attached toilet, which is very advanced during that time, in the 1500s. And this guy, he was more interested in himself. He is supposed to be the head of the spiritual so-called church there, but he's only thinking about himself, and he's a very powerful prince, a powerful archbishop. Okay, and at the end of life, having all these things, having all the power he needed, at the end of it, he became a recluse. Nobody saw him, he met with no one, and he was all alone. What's the worth of all these things that, when at the end of life, all these things are worthless? Right? So truly, the Sami says, you know, turn my eyes away from worthless things, right? And so he sought to refocus. Now, as he sought to refocus, one of the things that came about was reproach. Again, this idea of reproach comes about. Okay? And in verse 42, we read, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me? Okay? So in Psalm 119, verse 23, we see him going through reproach. Verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Verse 23, princes also sit and speak against me. You see, one of the things that when we try to improve in our walk with God, when we try to live further for us, so now he refocused, again problem comes. You see, when you try to walk with God, when you try to improve, when you try to do things for the Lord, you know, problems will come. Difficulties, you will face opposition almost. Right? So he faced reproach. There were people who reproached him. Right? There were those who continued to reproach him. In verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. Right? Now, not much is mentioned about this. He may have been brought before dignitaries because of his faith. And he had to find the courage to speak before them. But of course, this was a very more unique experience for the psalmist. Okay? And so in the midst of all these things, as he struggled, as he found that, you know, there were people who were reproaching him, that were mocking him, what did he do? See, one of the things that I would like to emphasize today is this idea of praying for the mercies of God. Okay, in verse 41, it says, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord. Let your mercies. Now, the question I would like to raise up first is, why did the psalmist only pray about mercy only now? Right, he has gone through 41 verses. So the 41st verse, he prays. He's gone through 5 sections. Only now he prays for the mercies of God. Why? How do we see this? How do we understand this? Does it mean that before this, he was not depending on the mercies of God? Only now that he was depending on the mercies of God? What do you all think? And what does depending on the mercies of God mean? What do you think? Anybody? How do we see this idea of the mercies of God? Do you pray for the mercies of God every day? Yeah. Okay. So only when you are in trouble, then you look for the mercies of God? Okay, then you feel that there is the mercies of God. So, okay, so we come back to this question. Was this idea of the mercies of God something that he was conscious about earlier? Would he have been conscious of? Okay, yes. And the answer is yes. He would have been conscious of the mercies of God. Okay, so it's not only now that he remembers the mercies of God. He would have been. Okay? And the mercies of God is something that has been revealed from, you know, the times of Genesis and Exodus. You turn with me to Exodus 34. And we see this general revelation of the mercies of God. And here we see, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, merciful, keeping mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin. You know, one of the things that I am very conscious of, you know, is learning how to pray for God's forgiveness every day. And it's only by his mercies that our sins can be forgiven, right? And this is something that we should be conscious of. For the psalmist, he may not have stated it, but he would have been conscious of it. And in verse 41, he's now praying. So he understood it as a basic underlying factor of life. Okay, the very fact that we are alive is because of the mercies of God. So, you know, you can go through 2 weeks being away, and I can tell you I'm very, very conscious of the mercies of God. Driving in Europe is like, you know, Grand Prix like that. I don't know whether you have driven in Europe before. They drive at 80 km per hour on single lane roads. So it's a, you know, there and back, to and fro in a single lane. They drive at 80 km per hour. And it's not straight road, it's like winding road. And everybody's driving at 80 km per hour. Oh, it's like F1 like that. You don't keep up with them, they'll honk you, bah, 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 so you got to go to the side. You know, the Germans, they all think like Schumacher, you know, they think that they are, and they drive very, very fast. And you got to catch up with them, right? I tell you, I'm very conscious. It reminds me of when I was flying in the Air Force every day. Just learning how to depend upon the mercies of God. Right? And so for the psalmist, he prays for that mercy. How do we approach life? Why? Okay, when you pray for mercy, what does it represent? What does it show about the heart of the psalmist? What comes true? You know, in Psalm 119 and in verse 41, it says, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word." What does it show about the psalmist? What do you think? What do you think?
Maybe
Okay, wretchedness. What else? Together with wretchedness, what is it? The need. What else? It shows that you are weak. You see, at this point of time, you may think that the psalmist is ready while he's growing. Actually, he's not. Okay, at this point of time, he's still weak. He's still struggling. He's still learning. He's going through a time where he is still learning and he's pleading for the salvation of the Lord. And you know, he recognizes how much he needs the mercies of God. And you know, guys, one of the things that I would like to emphasize to you all is you recognize how weak you really are before God. See, the only way that we will pray for the mercies of God is when we recognize how weak, how sinful, how utterly impoverished we are spiritually before God. It's times like this that we realize that we need the mercies of God to be there for us. You know, whether it is service, whether it is surviving in the world, whether it is to have the mercy to speak for the Lord. See, this section is about speaking for the Lord. He's not taking it for granted that he can just speak for the Lord. He realizes he needs the mercy. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your... So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. You know, how do you find the right words? How do you find that wisdom to speak for the Lord at that point of time? How do you do that? You know, one of the things I also realized about some of these people in Australia is that some of them can be very snooty. They look down on you. They despise you because you're Asian. So you step into the restaurant, they look at you, they don't smile at you, they don't welcome you. In fact, they despise you, right? And so I had some unfortunate experience where they despise you, right? Here comes a Caucasian man and he gives him a seat. Here I come and say, oh, you have to wait half an hour. You can only sit at a bar with the rest of the Asians. But that's okay. You know, I'm so used to it already. You know, after a while, I told myself, it's okay. Right? That's how they see things. But what am I going to do? Am I going to get angry? Am I going to get upset? Well, I need wisdom. How do I respond? So for some of them, I see a seat, I just go there and sit down. So they got no choice, they're going to serve me. So best thing to do is don't wait, just go and sit. Huh? If they ask you to leave, then you leave. But you don't ask you to leave, they bring the menu. Okay, you just order. Don't need to say too much. But, you know, you need wisdom. And for the psalmist, he needed to learn how to find that mercy and that wisdom from the Lord. Okay, any questions you want to raise up? Do you understand where I'm coming from, this idea of mercies? You see, you got to recognize, you see, it boils down to your heart. It really boils down to your heart. How your heart would respond to God, to the things of life, the challenges of life. It's the kind of heart you have before God. And one of the things that I always do is that I would pray. I'll pray for mercy. I used to pray a lot for grace. Okay, you know, Lord, give me that grace. Give me that strength. I still do. But I pray a lot more for mercy. Because sometimes, you know, you come to a stage where you are stuck. Right? You don't know what to do. How do I go beyond? How do I sustain this? How do I find the strength to carry on? Mercy. You need mercy from God. And sometimes mercy, it is out of an urgent need, a time where you just feel that you really need God to respond. And that's where mercy comes in. That's where mercy is given. And one of the things that I always pray is to come boldly before the throne of grace that I may obtain mercy in times of need. Can you see this? And that's something that we need. Okay? Okay, anything that you want to raise up? There's a sense of urgency that must be there. Now, the next part, how do we go about praying? And how do we, you know, come before the Lord, finding purpose in praying for the Lord's mercy? And one of them is to learn how to speak for the Lord, to make a strong defense before Him. So in 42, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me? You see, at this point of time, he still did not have the skill set to defend his faith. He was in a process of learning. He still did not have much wisdom. He was at this learning stage. And you know, many of us are still at the learning stage. Okay, if I want to give you four L's to work with today. Okay, one would be learning. Don't stop learning. See, many of us are still at the learning stage. You say, okay, you know, Pastor Mitch, I'm already an adult, I'm working. What do you mean by still learning? You know, I'm an adult, I'm much older than all of you, I'm still learning. There are many things that we are still learning. Okay? And it takes the mercies of God to learn. It takes humility to learn. It takes mercy to learn. Do you know that? Sometimes we think that learning, yeah, to learn with your mind, yes. But to learn with the heart is a different thing. To learn from the heart, to learn with the heart, to learn until it becomes part of you. That's a different thing. Many of us can understand things with our mind. Okay? Mentally. But to learn spiritual lessons until it becomes part of us is a different thing altogether. And it takes the mercies of God to do that. You know, the psalmist needed to find that wisdom and the answer from the Word of God to defend his faith. And that's something we need to have too. When we speak to people, when we talk to people, do we defend our faith? Do we know what to say? You know, Martin Luther, one of the things he did was that he had to stand before a tribunal to answer questions that he had raised about the 95 theses that he had raised up against the Roman Catholic Church. And, you know, they took him to task. So on the first day, when he came before the court, he didn't have all the answers. And he told them, can I answer these things, these questions tomorrow? Do you recant? Do you want to carry on with this? Or do you recant all that you have said? Simple question that he asked. You know, it took him one whole day and he prayed. He prayed for mercy. One day he took to think through how he would answer. To say yes or to say no. That's all. But he took one whole day to pray and to think through. And finally, the next day, he stood before everybody and gave his very famous speech. He said that, you know, to recant is to go against all that I stand for with reference to my faith in the Lord and what I believe in. So I cannot recant and I will not. And he stood before everybody and said, so help me God. Wow. You see, it takes mercy to be able to find that courage to stand for your faith, to stand before others who reproach you. And that was something that I've always been inspired by. Okay, pleading for words of truth. Verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. You know, he pleaded for the words of truth to be found in his mouth. Not just wise words, words of truth. He was deeply concerned how he will not have any word to say, that he will not have any word to say before the Lord. You know, he was going to speak the truth of the word of God and only the truth. Sometimes even the words we speak can be taken away from our very mouth. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Right? Even in a matter of defending our faith, pleading for the words of God. And then, of course, there is that mercy to keep the word of God. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever. Verse 42, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. Verse 44, so shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever. Okay, any questions you want to raise up concerning this? Anybody? Okay, now, what is the basis by which we do all these things? To pray, to speak, what is our basis? What do you think? Marcus? Basis means this is what I lean on. This is what I stand on. So Martin Luther, he came before everybody and he, this is what I stand on. What's his basis? You must have a strong basis, right? For whatever you do. What's your basis? Okay, faith and trust. You're right, right? I mean, to me, look at what he says in verse 42. He says, for I trust in your word. Right? For I have hope in your ordinances. Okay? And so he was leaning on the word of God. Right? He was leaning fully on the word of God. Okay, so there's learning, and then there's leaning. Ken? He was leaning. He was standing. He was, you know, there was that faith in the word of God. There was that sense of hope in the word of God. Hope in the ordinances of God. So on one hand, there was that prayer. On one hand, he prayed. On the other hand, his part was trusting in the Lord's word as he prayed. Right? He was learning to place his full trust in the Lord's word and promises. And he found, as he exercised faith, he found that sense of hope. For I have hope in your ordinances. You see, that's how we must serve. We must serve with faith. Right? We must find a faith that is vibrant, that is real, that is hopeful, that will cause us to keep serving week after week, month after month, year after year. See, there must come a vibrancy of faith. Can you see that? Right? So Vanessa was asking me about, you know, how should I go about doing certain things as I serve and all. And the challenge is to find a vibrancy of faith. Is your faith vibrant? As you cope with transiting from holiday to working life, can you find a vibrancy of faith? Is your faith vibrant, Matthias? Is your faith vibrant? No. Why? Okay, let's talk for more. Why is it that our faith may not be as vibrant? Okay. Cannot focus. Well, I'm glad that we can talk about that. Right? We are distracted. We will not easily focus. Okay, what else?
When we go through a setback in our daily life,
yeah.
That
Okay, setbacks, right? And setbacks will come. They will come. And that easily distracts us. It causes us to get caught up with how we feel. And once we get caught up with certain way we feel, you know, faith doesn't come in as much. Right? And that's something that can affect us. Okay? What do you think, Edward? Hmm. Like what? Sure. We all tend to lean on other things rather than leaning on the Lord. Brian? You started worry, right? Heaven, now. And what do you think now? Nothing. Sorry? You just came back from holiday, okay. So you're still a holiday mode. Yeah, you should be in his mode now. Okay, working. When you start work? Okay, still holiday mode. Okay, no wonder, got nothing to say. Vanessa? You're right. We forget to feed our faith. You see, the word vibrant comes from, you know, the idea of vibrancy comes from life. When a person is filled with life. And life comes from the Word of God. In fact, that's something that we will be touching on in time to come. Okay? And that's something that we will deal with. But, you know, it is from the Word of God that we can find life. Okay? That is something that we all can seek for, look for, pray for, and continue to seek after. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your Word has given me life. Next week, we will study about that. You see, vibrancy is something that we all need. It's something that we all need to pray for, seek after, and develop in our life. That is something that I look for every week. You know, when you go through a week of service, of work, you know, you get drained. Your soul dries up. And, you know, we need to feed our soul. We need to take the time to just dwell and let the Word of God be so much more a part of our life. And we won't do it unless we focus on it. Unless we take the time to dwell on the Word of God. Can you see that? And then that comes down to the idea of discipline. Right? You see, one of the things I've learned through the years is the discipline of reading the scriptures. You know, I read a book when I was, I bought a book. It's called The Empire of Pain. Okay? It's a very interesting book. It's an expose of how there was this, it's called The Sackler Family. And they're the one who started the opioid pandemic in America, where they advertised drugs that were addictive, but they made it in such a way that it did not seem like it. They advertised it in. So this guy, Arthur Sackler, the father, and the son, Richard Sackler, and basically, they came from an advertising firm and they were pushing drugs that were in some ways addictive, but they made it in such a way, they advertised it in such a way that it wasn't. And people became hooked on it. And many people have died. 500, they claim that maybe 500,000 over people have died because of this opioid pandemic. when you go to a hospital, you go after an operation, they will give you this this medicine that was meant to help you. But a lot of the patients became addictive to them. And wow, it was really horrible. And a lot of people have died from overdose. And it's really scary. One whole thick book. Amazing book. And wonderful, you know, it's an interesting, very interesting expose on the Sackler family. And how they have earned billions of dollars because of this. It's called Purdue Pharmaceutical Company. And now they are bankrupt because the whole country is coming after them. Okay? None of them have gone to jail. They all have become bankrupts, so-called. The company has become bankrupt, but they themselves are not bankrupt. Wow, so people are very angry about this family. But you know, for them, they can get away with it, so-called. But you know, before God, they got to be answered. They have to be answerable to them. And you know, I took the time to read. I took the time to think. I took the time to go through these things. And to be able to feed my own soul and say, wow, this is really horrible. And of course, you know, taking the time to read the scriptures. Okay? Okay, any questions you want to raise up? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We really need to work on our faith. That's our challenge. Okay? To find that sense of hope in the Lord's work. You know, he was someone who suffered from great moments of depression and difficulties. Right? There were times when he was having it tough. But then he learned. He learned to exercise faith. He learned to have hope in the Lord. He learned to take the time to exercise faith. Now, the next L is very important. See, as we walk with God, as we live for Him, as we find that life from the Lord, His Word, there comes a sense of liberty. I will walk in liberty, for I seek your precepts. Wow. You know, there's that desire. Can we find liberty? Can we find spiritual freedom in the Word of God? And my answer is yes. You know, he did not want to be overwhelmed by reproach. He wanted to be freed from fear and reproach. You know, he sought to walk in liberty as God gave enlightenment when he sought the Word of God. You see, how do you find liberty for the soul? How do you find life that comes? It's when we are enlightened by the Word. Right? It is the liberty that we seek after. It's knowing the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. So we can be challenged by the demands of work and service, and yet at the same time, we can find a sense of liberty that frees us as we study the Scriptures. In John 8, verse 32, it says, how the Lord Jesus taught, how knowing the truth can set you free. The Word of God can set you free from sin, from the doldrums, from distractions, from the challenges of life. Can the Word of God set us free? Yes. Can we walk in liberty in the predicament that we are in? Yes. Right? So for Mr. Tan, his family, they're going through a time where it's tough. You know, letting go is never easy. When my mom, before she passed away, you know, letting go is never easy. And yet, we are not overcome by sorrow. Can you see that? Because of my faith in the Lord, because of this hope we have in the Scriptures, in heaven and so on, you know, there is still that sense of comfort that liberates my soul from sorrow, from being overwhelmed. Can you see this? Okay. Let's stop here for a moment. Any questions you want to ask? I mean, do you have any questions you want to raise up concerning this? Yeah. leaning, having faith, having hope. First one is learning, second one is liberty. Okay, anything else you want to raise up, anybody, concerning these things? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, vibrancy, you see, he says here, I trust in your word, right? I hope. You see, that's vibrant. That's how, you know, trust and hope in the Lord brings about that vibrancy. You see, so he trusts in the Lord's word. I have hope in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually. I have hope. Can you see? Right? So there's that faith. You see, how does vibrancy comes about? When there's faith and then when there's hope. When he seeks to keep the word of God. Right? That's where we see. So shall I keep your law. There comes that desire. There comes that determination. There comes that the need to follow through. In wanting to do these things. I will walk at liberty. Right? I will speak of your testimonies as before kings and will not be ashamed. You see, now that there's courage. There's that strength. There's that vibrancy. You know what? I'm going to speak. Even if I have to speak before kings, I will not be afraid. I will not be ashamed. He's no longer ashamed about his faith, right? Earlier, he was a bit ashamed. In verse 6, then I will not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. So he was ashamed then, but now he's not ashamed of his faith. Can you see? Now he will stand it courageously, he boldly will speak for his faith. Right? I tell you how vibrancy comes about is when there's love. Right? There comes a deep love for the Lord and His Word. Right? In verse 47, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Wow. Now there is that love for the Scriptures. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. He will praise the Word of God, the commandments. Why? Because he loves the Word of God. He loves God. He loves the Word. Right? You know, when I first came back, what is it that I ate that I look forward to? Tummy bok. Well, I will eat it this evening. You know, I tell you what I love. I love actually Subway. I miss Subway. Right, so last night I went to buy Subway for myself. And you know what? That's something I really enjoy. Okay, I realize y'all don't love Subway very much, but... Yeah, you do, huh? Yeah, I really do. I really do. You see, when you love something, it's never boring. It's never something that you do mundanely. When there comes that sense of love. So you can see the connection. Faith, hope, love. Can you see the connection? How when you really have a vibrancy of faith and hope, there will come naturally that love. Love will follow. These three things will always go together. Faith, hope, and love. Right? And now that the sense of love for the Scriptures, I tell you, I love the Scriptures. I love things that are exciting. I love things that gives you the adrenaline rush. But I tell you what I really enjoy the most. I love the Scriptures. I love spending time with God. That, to me, is the best time of day. So you can be anywhere in the world, next to a quiet lake, 5:30 in the morning, nobody's there. and you just thank God. You have a very quiet, special moment with God in the beauty of His holiness. And you just thank God for that special moment. Just being with Him. You know, I love those special moments. I tell you what I really enjoyed most. Those special moments in the morning with God. I love those moments. Not the sights, not the sounds. Sure, I mean, that's interesting. But you know what? I love the most? The scriptures. I love Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is, wow, so long. But I tell you, I love it. I love memorizing it. I enjoy it. It's something that I look forward to each day and every day, which I love. I will meditate. And you know, he ends on a note of meditation. I will meditate. I tell you, that is something that for the psalmist, meditation is in between. Right, initially, but now he ends on a note of meditation. You know, meditate. Young adults, meditate on the Word of God. Let it become part of you. Meditate. How you know you will love the Word of God? After this, you will take time to meditate on God and on His Word. Okay, and I can tell you that vibrancy of life, of faith, will come as you meditate on Him. Ken? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for this short time that we can have to study your Word. We pray that you will help us, Lord, to find that vibrancy of life and of faith in your Word. We pray that you will help us to learn to pray for your mercy. It's through your mercy that we can find faith, hope, and love for your Word. And we can find a faith that will help us to speak for you, to stand for you, to be courageous in the sight of oppression and opposition. And we pray, dear Father, that you will guide us and help us to increase our faith, Lord. So bless us as we live here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you for being here. We'll